growing up, we would take road trips, and we really didn't use seat belts back then, but we all made it. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying that's the way it was back in the day. Let you know how old I am. But my parents, they were pretty sharp when we took road trips. They knew how to do this. They would bring along activity books for us. And now we didn't have iPads, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have TVs or old school portable DVD kind of players. Do y'all know what a DVD is anymore? You know what I'm saying? If it's not streaming, we don't know what it is. It was old school. My parents would bring along activity books. And one of the activities that we'd find in most of those books was called Connect the Dots. Here's an example of a Connect the Dot, right? And y'all know how this works. Sometimes you kind of, maybe I have an idea of what it's going to be when you're finished, but usually you don't exactly know. And the way to find out was to connect the dots. And so you take the one and you connect it to the two. And then you take the two and you connect it to the three. So on and so forth. And before you know it, voila! You have it right there. The picture emerges after you've connected all 56 dots. And I knew there were 56 because I did that this week. I did a connect the dot this week. Lazarus, come forth, Jesus says, right? Connecting the dots, the picture is revealed. As the Lord is leading, I'm going to tie this in, believe me. As the Lord is leading us through the book of Colossians, verse by verse, this expository journey through this amazing book, he's teaching us the connecting church, how things fit together. He's connecting the dots for us as the Holy Spirit is painting a picture of what it really looks like to live a connected life, what it really looks like to connect with God and to connect with one another. Did I pull it together all right? Did that work? Amen. All right. So you ready to connect more of the dots? Open up your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1. We're going to dive back into Scripture, get that picture painted for us. Today we're going to be introduced to four characteristics of the connecting church. Four characteristics of the connecting church. Check this out. Characteristic number one, the connecting church is a people who are connecting with the will of God. Point one, a connecting church is a people connecting with the will of God. The Apostle Paul continues in his letter. We are in Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So again, a people who are connecting with God are a people who are connecting with the will of God. Why is this important? Why must we connect with the will of God? Why must we have, as Paul says, knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding of God's will? Because it's only walking in the will of God that we actually please God. Let's go to verse 10 of Colossians 1. Paul says, and we pray this. In other words, he's praying that the church would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I want to please God. I do. I want to please God. I want to glorify him. I want to honor him. I want to please him. I want to be about his business. I want to know him more. I want to please him. And so let's notice what pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when we're growing in the knowledge of his will, because it causes us to bear fruit in every good work as we're growing in the knowledge of God. You see, God is pleased when we're spending our time getting to know him more, connecting with him, growing in our knowledge of him and his will. He's pleased when we are spending our time seeking him out and pursuing him. And he's pleased when we engage in his redemptive mission, bearing fruit in every good work. This pleases God. Again, it's important. Why? Because it changes things when we seek to grow in the will of God. See, when we have a greater understanding of God's will and what pleases Him, what do? We start scheduling our time differently. Don't we? We talked about this a little bit last week. It just kind of came out on the fly in the service as we were talking about connecting with God. And is it something that we actually have scheduled in our calendars every single week? I mean, we can understand how motivated we are to please God by getting to know Him more and by growing in the knowledge of His will by looking at our calendars. Because if something is worth doing, it's worth scheduling. It's worth being intentional about it. We're intentional about so many things in this life. So many things make it on the calendar. So many things we won't let pass by. This pleases the Lord, that we would be about growing in the knowledge of His will, connecting with Him in this way. Why is it important? Because it changes things. When we have a greater understanding of God's will, we pray differently. I mean, when you know what God wants in a situation or in your life, you can pray with confidence. When you know that you're praying what God wants, you stop wondering and being wishy-washy in your prayers. And I'll tell you what, you start praying with confidence because you're praying the very will of God, the plan of God. It allows you to get courageous in your prayers, bold in your prayers. And so growing in the knowledge of the will of God is extremely important, and it will take our prayer lives to a whole nother level. We'll start releasing things out of our mouth that will change our world around us. When we have a greater understanding of God's will, we do things differently. Because we start doing God things, because we understand now what the God things are and what they're not. And so because we love Jesus, we start doing His things because we know what His things are now because we're growing in the knowledge of His will. And we start doing the things that we're doing, even the things that don't seem like it's God stuff, like working and going to school and studying, we start doing them His way. And we start doing them for His glory, because we understand His will in those things also. And so it's kind of a both and. As we're growing in the knowledge of the will of God, we're being, as we grow closer and we're pursuing that intimacy with Him, and then it's the doing that comes out of that. Being with Him, and what we do changes as we grow in the knowledge of the will of God. J.C. Ryle, he's an old school preacher from back in the 1800s. He said this, and I love it. He says, "What pleases God shall please me." And we know what pleases God when we're growing in the knowledge of His will. What pleases God shall please me. Jesus taught us to connect with God's will in our prayers. Y'all remember it, Matthew chapter 6. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this. He says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus is telling us to pray the will of God, which means that we need to understand the will of God and grow in the knowledge of the will of God so that we can pray the will of God. Sometimes we think that we're just supposed to pray that prayer and say, you know, "Your will be done." But I believe Jesus is giving us a template on how to pray, and what He's intending for us to do is to pray the will of God. It's your will, God, that all would be saved. That's your desire. You want darkness pushed back. You want abortion pushed back and extinguished in our nation. You want the lost to be saved. You want my cousin to know you. And I'm going to pray your will over his life. I'm going to declare your will into this situation, over my community, over my friends, over my marriage. It's not your will that we would be divorced, that we would be at odds with one another. It's your will that we would be at peace with one another, loving one another, building one another up, going to the XO conference at Evident Life Church on February 8th and 9th. Little plug there. Amen. So I implore you to read God's word, because in his word you will find his will. You got to be in the word of God, church, because it's in his word that we start to find out what his will is, which changes our prayer life, which changes how we live every single day. So I encourage you, get in it, and get in it maybe just a little more even. He doesn't hide his will from us. Sometimes we think that. I know how it is, right? You think, man, if I knew the will of God, I'd pray it, I'd do it, I'd walk in it, but I just don't know what the will of God is. It's too crazy. I don't know what he wants me to do in this situation. I don't know what he wants to have happen. I want to tell you, read this and you'll know. You'll know what he wants, and then you can pray it, declare it, and walk in it. I implore you to pray God's word. Pray the word of God. Get in the word and start declaring it, praying it, because his word doesn't return void. It doesn't return void. It's powerful. It will accomplish what it's set out to accomplish. I encourage you and implore you. That's the word I used in my notes, implore. That's like, come on. I mean, I'm like strong-arming you. I'm getting you in a headlock. I'm saying do it, right? I implore you to speak God's word, because when we speak the word of God, let it come out of our mouths, we're declaring the will of God over whatever it is we're speaking into. So read it, because you'll know the will of God. Pray it, because it doesn't return void. Speak it, because when we speak his will, it will come to pass. It changes things. And then I implore you, headlock, to do God's word in our world today. In other words, do what his word and his will says on earth, in our lives, in our situation, in our marriages, in our families, at work, at school, wherever we are, do the word of God. Do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is how we connect with the will of God. I want to give this word for those who get stressed out about being in God's will. I'm not going to ask for hands, but I know there's a lot of people who are stressed out. You're like, I really want to be in the will of God, but I don't know it. And so you're all worried and oh no, is this God's will? And let me just say this. This is found in the Gospel Herald. It's an old school writing. Someone says, the will of God, which we sometimes think so hard, is, if we only knew it, just the softest pillow to rest upon. If we recognize that there was no choice but God's, no aim but such as had him for its object, how it would take the worry and care from our lives. Have we learned that we are only safe, happy, right when he chooses? God doesn't want us to be stressed out about his will. He wants us to be excited about it and to grow in the knowledge of his will right here. So it pleases God when we're growing in the knowledge of his will. But this leads us to point number two. The connecting church is a church that's connecting with the power of God. The power of God. Notice this also pleases the Lord when the church is strengthened in his might and is operating in his power. I want to go back to verse 10 to set this up. To set up verses 11 and 12. And so Paul says, and so we pray this, that you would grow in the knowledge of the will of God. We pray this, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Number one, bearing fruit in every good work. Number two, growing in the knowledge of God. That pleases him. But the list of what pleases God continues. Here's another thing that pleases God that happens as we're growing in the knowledge of his will. We're being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So it pleases God when we're connecting with the power of God. Yes, God wants us to grab hold of what he's grabbed hold of for us. He wants us to grab hold of victory and walk in victory. This pleases God. You know, it doesn't please God when the church is cowering and afraid and acting all weak. That doesn't please the Lord. What pleases him is when we come into agreement with his will and we continue his ministry of power, of healing, of transformation in our world today. Not shy. Not all wondering, is God really going to come through? But we move forward in power, in the confidence of his power and his authority. God wants us to operate in supernatural power. He wants us to speak to mountains and to cast them into the sea. This pleases God. When we pray this way, when we act this way, when we do life this way, God wants us to activate his divine power, and he wants us to demolish strongholds. He wants us to be active in spiritual warfare. He wants us to be pushing back darkness. He wants us to be praying those bold prayers. This pleases God when his church is about this kind of business. And we're able to do this because we're growing in the knowledge of his will. And so when we grow in the knowledge of his will, we realize the power that we have been given through Christ Jesus to be the church today. We need to pray this way. We need to fight sin this way with power. We need to speak into our generation with this kind of clarity, confident in the power of God, in his sovereignty, and in his grace. I want to be those people who please God. Let's do it. Let's say it. Let's be it. Amen? I didn't get a big amen. I want a big amen. We want to be those people because we want to please God. And we're not going to be afraid to operate in the power of God and trust that he will show up. Amen. But Paul is also praying for this too. Check this out. Paul is praying for us, the church, to embrace the power of God that helps us wait. Do you see that? We also embrace the power of God that helps us wait. So one aspect of the power of God is we move the mountains. We push back the darkness. We do spiritual warfare. The other aspect is we grab hold of the power of God that helps us endure. It helps us wait. That gives us supernatural patience. That power of God that we embrace, that helps us endure hard times. Because they come and they happen. The power to trust God. To thank him in all things, even when the wheels seem like they're falling off. To thank him, even when things aren't fair. John Bunyan, best known for writing Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you read Pilgrim's Progress? It's good. Read it. Get your kids to read it. So John Bunyan understood a little bit about the need to embrace the power of God to help him endure hard times. He lost his wife fairly early in their marriage. His first child was born blind. Then John was thrown into prison for 12 years. Why? Because they said he was illegally preaching the gospel of Jesus. Thrown into prison for 12 years. He was given the option to be released early, but the deal was is that they'd release him if he wouldn't preach any longer, if he'd stop declaring the word of God. See, he wasn't licensed by the proper authorities to do that. But he wouldn't agree to those terms. And so he remained in prison those entire 12 years. He would memorize entire books of the Bible so that he would never be without truth, the knowledge of the will of God. All of this suffering. Yet John Bunyan leaned upon God's amazing grace, the power of God, and he endured. And the Lord used this man to change a nation, to influence a world. The power of God that helps us endure hard things. That comes as we are growing in the knowledge of his will that we find right here in his word. So connecting with the power of God, it's not optional. We're not going to make it in our own power. We're not going to make it weak. We're not going to finish the race apart from the power of God. We've got to connect with the power of God, which comes from understanding and growing in the knowledge of the will of God. Do the same things that Jesus did. We can't do that in our own power. Can you imagine that? He said, you're going to do what I did and even greater things? Not my own strength, not my own smarts, but all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Everything is possible. Raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons. Better not do that in your own power. You get spanked around, you know what I'm saying? Ministering to the poor and the oppressed, enduring pain, persecution, all possible. All things are possible as we connect with the power of God. So connecting, being the connecting church, is connecting with the will of God, connecting with the power of God, and the connecting church is also going to be connecting with the kingdom of God. Can you say that? Say, kingdom of God. Amen. Verse 13, for he has rescued us. Jesus has. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And he's brought us into what? The kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Church, we're no longer disconnected from God. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer citizens of a broken world with messed up leadership. Our citizenship papers have been changed. We're now citizens of the kingdom of God, and it's the kingdom of God that we're connecting with and coming into agreement with. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We have new names. Hope you know that. One of your names is Beloved. God speaking that over you. Beloved. Heir. You're my heir. You're my co-heir, says the Lord, says Christ. We have new identities. We're sons and daughters now. Not orphans. Not wondering who our daddy is. We're sons and daughters of the creator of the universe. We are saints. No longer sinners. We have new identities because we're now members of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. We are conquerors, not losers. We are conquerors. That's our identity now in Christ, in the new kingdom, that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have new roles. We don't have to wonder who we are. We don't have to wonder what we do now. Because in this new kingdom, God's word and his will says that we are kings and priests in his kingdom. We're ambassadors of Jesus. We're missionaries of the gospel. We're salt. We're light. We are intercessors in the kingdom of God, and we're world changers. Amen. We're world changers. So are you connecting with the kingdom of God reality? Are you connecting with your new names, with your new identity, with your new roles? Are you embracing them to the point that you're believing them, you're speaking them over your life, and you're living them out, those new roles? It's an exciting way to live, and it's our inheritance now in the kingdom of God. Don't let the enemy pull you back into the old kingdom. Don't let him speak your old names, what was of the past. You're no longer a sinner, you're a saint. At one time, you used to be lost, but now you're found. You're in Christ Jesus now in the kingdom of God. You know, I wrote this down. I believe it's important that we declare things and we speak things out. It's important what we say with our mouths. So I want to ask you to say this after me. Say, I am who God says I am. Because of Jesus. I am a new creation. I am a child of God. I am a saint. I am a conqueror, and I am a world changer. Amen. That's who we are. That's who we are, church. As I conclude, I want to hit one more characteristic of the connecting church. And this characteristic is kind of woven in to the passages that we've been studying in Colossians 1 today. And that is, connecting requires prayer. connecting with God, connecting with who we are, connecting with the will of God, walking in the will of God, requires prayer. Notice how Paul was praying for this church in Colossae. He was praying for the church to connect with God. Verses 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard of you, Paul says, we have not stopped praying for you. And then he says, and we pray this, that you would grow in the knowledge of the will of God. That you'd walk in power, endurance, and all of these things. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. He prays this. The Apostle Paul understood that prayer changes things. Prayer would take this church to a whole nother level. God needed to show up in this church for them to continue to grow into who they are in Christ Jesus. See, prayer can do what we can't do ourselves. Do you understand that? Why? Because prayer is unleashing the unstoppable grace and power of God. That's what we're doing when we pray. That's what we're doing when we declare God's word, when we declare His truth. We are releasing, unleashing the unstoppable grace and power of God. Amen. We saw this last year. You remember this testimony when Scott Lomas' son, Jacob, when he was pronounced brain dead, he was about to be unplugged from life support. We couldn't bring him back. I was in the room with Scott, Barbara, and others. We couldn't bring him back. The doctors couldn't bring him back. They pronounced him dead. It was over. But people prayed. But people prayed. We prayed and everything changed because of prayer. We couldn't change it. But God showed up because His people prayed and it went from death to life. A miracle happened in that room. We always dream of being somewhere where we see the dead raised back to life. I was there. I saw it happen, and it wasn't because of anything that human hands can do. It was because of prayer and the sovereign, beautiful, amazing, healing move of God. The power of God at work. So I want to say this. Instead of us trying to fix people in our own strength, see, Paul wasn't trying to fix the church in his own strength. He had some encouragement for him, some rebuke at times, but he understood for the church really to change and go to the next level, that instead of just talking them out of their old way and talking them into a new way of living, he needed to pray for them and ask God to work on them. This is what Paul was doing, asking God to do the big stuff, the heavy lifting, the heart and the life transformation. How can this work in our lives? Think of it this way. How about praying for our children and asking God to do His work and to release His plans in their lives? Instead of us feeling like it's all on us and that we've got to step in and we've got to control the situation and we've got to protect them and we've got to make it all happen for them. And if we don't, oh no, God's plans are going to fall apart and it's not going to happen. I say, let's pray for them more and control a little less and ask God to come with His purpose and plans. Let's pray for our kids. How about praying for our spouse instead of trying to fix them and make them out to be Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful? I'll just share this. Velvet has a lot of fixing to do. She could in my life, right? But it doesn't go so well when she tries to step in and change me. I don't know about the rest of you guys. You like it when your wife steps in and tries to change you, right? It doesn't always go well. It doesn't always go well at all. But you know what she does? She prays. And she asks God to change me. And God does it. I mean, sometimes she'll pray for something to happen, and I'll come to her later that day and say, you know, honey, I was just thinking about this. I think I need to kind of change this, or I want to kind of handle this a different way. And she's like, oh, my goodness, I just prayed for that to happen. Pray instead of trying to fix it ourselves. How about praying for our leaders? instead of criticizing them and cursing them or undermining them. Prayer changes things because prayer puts it in God's hands. And so, growing in our connection with God and with one another will require prayer. We need to pray on our own. We're supposed to be praying at all times without ceasing. We need to be living a life, a day in and day out of prayer, of seeking God and declaring things and moving in a whole realm of prayer all the time. But I want to say there's something powerful when we come together as a church family in unity and we pray together. It's powerful. I don't want anybody to miss out on that. When you're able, come to Wednesday night prayer. It's an amazing time for us to come into agreement with the heart of God. We listen to what he's saying, what's on his heart, what is his will. We come into agreement, then we start praying it and declaring it and speaking it and unifying around God's will. It's also a time when we pray for one another. We see God move in each other's lives. I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to have one more week of prayer in the prayer room this Wednesday, and we're starting to outgrow that prayer room. And so the following Wednesday, we'll be here in the sanctuary. We'll have chairs set up to be in a nice environment where we still are connecting with one another as we're connecting with God. But I want to encourage you. Prayer changes things. It's important. Jesus said it's part of his will that we would be praying people. There's power when people of God connect together in prayer and in unity. So the message this morning, the connecting church, we're connecting with the will of God, we're connecting with the power of God, and we're connecting with the kingdom of God, and we're praying.